Decided to come a little even closer to you this morning with the common folk down here. Just kidding. But I'm down here a little closer this morning because as we have the sermon this morning, it's actually going to be a little bit more discussion as well. I hope you'll participate in that with me. My first question for you that I'm just looking for hands this time is, who likes music here? Anyone like music? That's what I suspected. Does anyone not like music? I saw one hand. Good. That's okay. Oh, yeah, back here, Kevin. Okay, two hands. All right, good to know. But I figured most of you like music. And so I wanted to ask, as we kind of move into this stage of our worship, talking about why we sing, why we have music, I want to ask, why do you like music? What are some reasons you have for enjoying music?
It always fits the mood that you're in.
It can always fit the mood that you're in. Excellent. Saw a hand back. Diane?
It lifts me up.
Lifts you up? Okay. So not only does it maybe sometimes fit the mood, but it changes your mood depending on what it is. I see a hand. Jerry?
I grew up in a family of musicians.
Okay. Okay, so it was just part of your life in a lot of ways. Good.
It relaxes me.
Relaxes you? Thanks, Carol. What else? Are there other reasons for liking music?
I think it's more emotional than it is saying things.
Okay, so there's an emotional aspect to it.
Oh, nothing better to do but sing your heart out.
I'm back here. Have any thoughts on music? They're all sitting there. Yeah, I'll turn around. Pay is good. That's good. No. Any other reasons for liking music? I think we could go on. There are lots of reasons we like music. I think you guys have touched on a lot of the key ones. And that's what we're talking about this morning. We've been doing this series, That Thing We Do, Worship, and talking about what do we do when we gather together on Sunday morning? Why do we do it? We talked about the prelude and how that is a transition into the activity of worship for us. We talked about the call to worship and being invited into this cosmic and community activity of praising God and being formed by others. And we're kind of defining worship as being planted in God's story. And then as we're planted, out of that blooms an expression of our praise and the formation of our lives. That's kind of how we're defining worship. Expression and formation that comes out of being immersed in the story of God. This morning we talk about music. And I want to suggest that music in worship, as some of you have said, allows us to express more fully and to be formed more deeply as a community. So you see both of those shoots, expression and formation, those are really helped by music as we do that in community. And we're going to look this morning at just those three parts of that statement. Music and worship allows us to express more fully, it allows us to be formed more deeply, and it allows us to do that as a community. And I think these truths are seen in our scriptures from Psalm 100 and Colossians 3. So first of all, singing allows us to express more fully. Psalm 100 begins, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing." This is not a bland scene. This is an emotional scene. Joy, gladness, singing. You get this picture of people coming into the temple in Israel and worshiping with joy, with emotion. Singing helps us to do that. Music can help us, I think, to express deeper and more full emotion. And I've had some conversations with my brother about this. He's a music teacher, and I asked him for a quote because he is an expert in the field, I figure. And he said, "I think that one of the most valuable functions of music is to help us feel a particular emotion. Texts that are purposeful," which is what we sing on Sunday morning, texts that have a purpose, "texts that are purposeful are well served by music that is equally purposeful, and that the music enhances what we feel or how we think about a particular idea." Worship, singing in worship helps us to express these ideas more fully. And I think that applies to both positive and negative emotion. If you think of songs, think of like the blues. Think of songs that we have about feeling lost or isolated, and then positive emotions, songs of hope and joy. We have songs that communicate, like Jenny said, almost any emotion that we can imagine. There is music that can meet us there and express that more deeply. In fact, the Psalms are, some would say, the songbook of Israel and for the church for many years, and they run the gamut of emotion. There are psalms of joy and gladness and hope. There are songs of despair and confusion and pain. Because that poetry, that music, helps us to express more fully. And that happens, as my brother said, in worship when the music and the message are brought together and complement each other. We've all heard songs where the music doesn't quite fit what you're singing. When it's done right, the music enhances the idea, the thought, the expression. Now, before we move on to the second point, I feel the need to clarify. When we talk about singing during worship, there is a difference between singing because we like singing, that's entertainment, and singing because we love God, that's worship. And so I think that's an important distinction to make. Why do we sing? Is it just because we like singing, or is it because that singing helps us to express our love and commitment to God? There are lots of people in churches all over the place who come and they just come as kind of part of the choir just to join in the singing because they enjoy singing. And I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy our singing in worship. Hopefully we do. But God hears the difference. There's a place in Amos where God says, "Take away from me your songs. I don't want to hear them," because the people are not singing out of a commitment to God, are not singing out of a love for God. They're just singing to sing. God knows when we're singing because we love music and when we're singing because we love God, and music helps us to express that love or to express those other emotions we have in that relationship more fully. Second, singing allows us to be formed more deeply. So we have this image of coming in and expressing in Psalm 100 verses 1 and 2, and then there is this picture of formation, this truth that we are being formed into in verse 3. "Know that the Lord Yahweh is God. It is He that made us. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." It is drawing us into this truth. And then in verse 5, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Right next to singing in Colossians 3, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And then, with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms," and so on. There's this formation that is a part of the music we sing. And in one sense, I think music helps us to be formed more deeply because it's about an encounter with God. We express, and expression is part of a relationship. The closer we draw to God, the more fully God and more deeply God is going to form us. And I think music is an instrument for that. It touches us deeply, whether because it's beautiful or memorable or it evokes emotion, it goes deeper with us. And as God goes deeper with music as an instrument for that, He goes deeper into us, into our lives, and He forms us. But singing also allows us to be formed more deeply just because it helps us, in a very human sense, to internalize a vision, to internalize a message. I want you to participate in an experiment with me for a second here. I want you to think of the alphabet. Recite the alphabet. Now, how many of you had that ABCs going through your head to do that, right? Most of you. Me too. When I think ABCs, I'm like, A, B, C, D. What comes after K? L? L, M, N, O, P. Okay. We teach kids the alphabet in song because it helps them to remember. Now, part two of the experiment, I want you to recite for me Isaiah 9. Anyone? Let me get you started. "For unto us a child is born." You can join in any time. "Unto us a son is given," and then skip ahead, "and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." All right, we got it going somewhere. Okay, some of you at least can recite Isaiah 9 because you know it from song. You've heard it in song and it sticks in your mind. Shakespeare's plays. You ever wonder how actors memorize a Shakespearean play? It's because Shakespeare wrote in meter. You've heard of iambic pentameter, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That pattern, that musical rhythm helps us to remember. There have been studies that have shown that Alzheimer's patients who are taught something through music have a far higher possibility of remembering it than if they were just told through words without music. Music helps us to remember things. It sticks in our mind. And so, music in worship helps to form us. Helps to teach us, helps us to remember who God is and what He's done. Now, if we sing just because we enjoy singing, the lyrics are irrelevant. But if we are singing as part of this love relationship with God, music helps us to learn about Him. Like you want to learn about someone you care for and love, music helps us to do that. And the texts that we sing, whether they be in hymns or psalms or songs up here or whatever we do, those songs help us to internalize that message and to remember it. So music, singing allows us to express more fully. It allows us to be formed more deeply. And singing allows us to do this in community. In community. That's the picture we have in Psalm 100. It's these people that are coming into the temple of God. In verse 3, it emphasizes that it is He that made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. It's this community scene. We saw Colossians 3 that says, teach each other, admonish one another with all wisdom. It says, sing to the Lord. But in Ephesians 5, almost that same passage, it says, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We help each other to be formed. We help each other to express through singing. The words of the song, the music of the song unites us in that song of praise and in that message that we're internalizing. So singing is not just for singing when we worship. Singing is an instrument to help us as a community to express and to be formed. Singing when we worship is first of all about God. Okay, so it's not about our enjoyment of singing, our ability to sing. It's about God. So instead of just saying we sing worship songs, I want us to think of the idea of worshiping through song. So we worship through prayer. We worship through our offerings. We worship through singing. It's an act of worship. It's about God. Second, it's about the community. It's about expressing and forming as a part of the community. And so participation in singing, participation in worshiping through song is key to the community. It's key that all of us are coming together, expressing together, singing to one another and with one another. It's significant that you can be a part of this community voice of praise, this cosmic voice of praise that we talked about last week. We may come here from many different places. Difficult times, good times. Coming here and singing together helps us to center and focus on the unchanging reality of who God is. That no matter whether good things are happening to me, bad things are happening to me, God is still worthy to be praised. And God still wants that relationship, that involvement in my life. And when we come together and we sing, we affirm that together. Music and worship allows us to express more fully, to be formed more deeply, as a community. Now, my next discussion question, having said all of that, is what keeps us from singing? Now, maybe you don't really sing during the worship service, or maybe you know someone who doesn't, or maybe you can just imagine why someone might be uncomfortable singing during a worship service. I want to hear what some of those reasons might be. Bill, what do you think? Now, Nancy, why won't you let Bill sing?
Well, there's so many reasons, Jeff. You've heard of the dawn baying at the moon.
Okay, gotcha. So Bill maybe is not a great singer, and so he's forbidden to sing, at least when he's standing next to you. That's why he's the worship leader sometimes, so he can come up here. Why else? Why else might people not feel comfortable singing, Jerry? So maybe emotion actually keeps you from singing. There's something deeper than being able to even sing about it. Very helpful.
Like you said, the nicest
Oh. Okay. Okay, sing softly so everyone else. Okay, so it has to do with your how you feel about your voice and, yeah. Other reasons? Any other reasons? No other reasons that you can imagine keeping someone from singing during worship? Okay, a lack of familiarity with the songs, with the music. I think that's a big reason, actually. Any others?
Sometimes you're too sad.
Again, that emotion comes into play there.
Dick? Sometimes the key that they're using is nowhere near your capability.
Absolutely. We do that sometimes, don't we? We sing songs that are way up there or way down there or some a little bit of both. That's always frustrating. Okay. Any other reasons? Well, I started brainstorming this week, and you came up with most of the ones that I came up with. And I actually did some reading, too. Turns out that this is a question a lot of people ask. Why don't people feel comfortable singing in church? And there were a lot of different responses. And I wanted to just address a few of them before we move on to the rest of our worship service this morning. The first one that has been mentioned a couple times, I don't have a good voice. I'm not comfortable with my voice. Someone else isn't comfortable with my voice. and so I don't sing. Okay? I think that is very, very common. And I want to suggest to you that while sometimes not having the best voice, well, first of all, I think a lot of us underestimate our voices. Okay? A lot of us have been told we can't sing by someone, have been excluded from a choir or something at some point, and so we don't think we can sing when really your voice isn't that bad. But second of all, say you do have a really bad voice. All right? Say you really do have a bad voice. That bad voice may have excluded you at some point from a choir. Maybe the choir at the church is not the best thing for you. Maybe getting the mic and leading our worship is not the best thing. But having a bad voice does not exclude you from worship. Worship is different than entertainment. Entertainment means you should have a good voice so that people can enjoy it. Worship, God does not hear just the quality of your voice. Okay? Sometimes we have that misperception that God enjoys a beautifully sung song more than he enjoys a passionately but not so beautifully sung song. And that is not the way it works. God hears not the words, not your tone. He hears your heart expressing itself through song. So while singing might exclude you from having a bad voice, might exclude you from other kinds of singing, it does not exclude you from worship. Quick story. There was a guy I went to college with, and his name was John. Some of you are like, yes, this friend named John. Not very creative. No, really, it wasn't me. His name was John, and he was a big partier. All right, he was one of those guys. He was typical frat boy kind of thing. You know, think of all your stereotypes. That was him. He loved to party. He loved women. He loved all of these different things that go along with quote unquote the college experience. But when John was a senior, he met Jesus. And Jesus changed his life, really, in a number of ways. And I remember John specifically because John would come to our student worship gatherings, and he would stand in the back. And John had one of the worst voices I have ever, and you have ever heard. I guarantee you. Terrible voice. And he would stand in the back, though, and he would belt out these worship songs. And there were times where it was a little distracting, I admit. But I learned more about worshiping from John than I did from a lot of people who have had beautiful voices who have sung worship songs. Because John worshiped with passion. And John was an addition, maybe not to the tone and the harmony. Well, maybe the harmony, unintentionally. But he wasn't a great addition to the musicality of our worship. But he was an incredible addition to the worship of our worship. If you know what I mean. Having a bad voice does not exclude you from singing in worship. Another reason I came up with that wasn't mentioned, maybe some of you feel it. I think in our culture, in general, singing is not a manly thing to do. Do you ever get that impression from our culture? Ever? No? I think it's true. I think in our culture, singing, the arts, emotions for that matter, even church, aren't the most manly thing to do. And I think maybe combined with the fact that a lot of guys don't feel like they have good voices, and guys, this is from experience, guys don't always like to do things they're not good at. I think that keeps a lot of men from singing. And so men, I'm talking to you right now, all right? I think it is a unique thing to our culture and time that things like singing and art and dance are not quote-unquote manly things to do. In most cultures of most times, men have sung, men have danced, men have done art, men have led the way in these things. And men, we need you to do that here. Okay? We need you to be a part. We need you to be a voice in our community, voice of praise. We need you to lead the way in that. We need to hear male voices, just like we need to hear female voices, singing the praises of God, singing to each other these truths that we celebrate during worship. So I want us to get past any conception that singing is not a manly thing to do. And I want men, I want you to lead the way in singing. All right? Got it? All right, back to everyone. That's my message to men. I don't understand the music. I'm not familiar with the music. That's very common. I'm going to address that more next week, okay? This is part one of part two, or of a two-part sermon, I guess. This week we're talking about why we sing. Next week we talk about how we sing. But what I'll say to the unfamiliarity of songs, as Dave mentioned, is this. The hymnal was originally meant not just as a songbook, but as a devotional guide. Okay? So I encourage you, if you are unfamiliar with the songs, if you are unfamiliar with the lyrics, and you're just trying so hard to get the music down that you don't even know what you sang, I encourage you to maybe take a hymnal home. Okay, tell us maybe before you do that. But take a hymnal home and look through it. Look at some of the songs we sing. Maybe use the prelude to open up your hymnals when we're doing hymns and go to those songs and read through them. Start to be familiar. Call back that tune, call back those words, see what you're singing. When you're at home and we do some of these different songs, go find them on the internet. You can find almost any song on YouTube performed in some way. Listen to them so that you can more fully participate in the community as we worship, as we praise, as we sing to each other in song. Okay? That's what I say to that one. The song isn't in my vocal range. I don't have a ton to say about that. If it's rare, that's okay. Sitting a song out because it's not in your vocal range, that's fine every so often. But if that's a constant problem, let's talk and maybe we can figure out some vocal training or something like that. We'll figure out something for you on that one. But I know that is a barrier sometimes. And I know we do our best to put them in the right key, a key that is accessible for you to sing in. I don't feel like singing. There are two parts to that one. And a couple of you have mentioned the emotional part of it. And on one hand, I want to say that there's a difference between singing and participating in the music. There might be times where you are emotional. You are sad. You are just overcome with joy and you can't sing, whatever the case may be. There are times where, yeah, it's okay. It's okay not to sing. Be there. Express in whatever way you want. Sit down. Even if everyone's standing up, sit down and pray. Let the people, if you are not feeling into it, let the people sing you into that. It's okay not to sing a song or two. Okay? That's fine. But on the other hand, let's also remember that our worship through song is about God, and it's about the community. So there are times where you may not feel like singing. That's okay. You don't have to. Maybe that's the time you're singing as a sacrifice of praise, as the Bible talks about. It's a sacrifice. Sometimes someone you love, sometimes you do things for them even if you don't feel like doing it. And as you're a part of a community, sometimes it's good to just sing it, even if you don't feel like it that particular morning, because it's true. And because you're a part of a community who is lifting this truth up to God in song. And maybe it can still be formative for you. As you sing that song, as you become familiar with the words, those go deeper into you. So even if you don't feel them at that time, singing it is a vehicle to learning it and to internalizing that truth. So that's what I would suggest. Those are the two hands of how I respond to the emotional part. Sometimes sit it out, but other times join in even when you don't feel like it. One that hasn't been mentioned, but I read a number of times online, some people just want to listen to the musicians. They're like, I don't want to ruin the song, okay? Our musicians do such a good job doing it, right? And we have great musicians here. We really do. But I would say if that's you, if you say, I don't want to sing because I just want to enjoy the music, we will unplug the guitars. We will take away the piano. We will just sing with our voices because worship is a community activity, all right? These people are here to lead us in worship, to help us to worship, but it's our task. It's not entertainment. Last reason. I'm going to be done right after this. I promise. And this is a little bit deeper, but I think sometimes we don't sing because we don't really believe it. We don't really believe the words. We don't really have a vision of God that moves us to sing. It doesn't tap into something that's deeper for us. And that's a little bit deeper of an issue. And I'm not here to say that's wrong or bad. I'm not here to make you feel bad if that's not you. But I want to ask, do you have a vision of God? Do you have a gratitude for what Jesus has done for you that moves you to sing? Not just because you like singing, but because you love God. Being a Christian at heart is about a relationship with God. Is about knowing a God. And the God that we know, the God of the Bible, is the God who moves us. He might move us to song. He might move us into living a radical kind of life. He might move us to be giving generously, to serving when it's hard, to doing things that other people wouldn't do. We have a God who moves us. And if you've never been moved by God, there's no solution to that other than to go deeper, to dig into the Scriptures, to pray and to ask God to show you who He is, to reveal Himself to you, to show you the Jesus who died on the cross, to show you the God who is alive and moving in this world. If you are not moved to sing, I want you to ask God for that. I want you to ask God to be someone in your life who can move you into that deeper emotion, into that song of praise. So I close with this challenge to you. One, if you sing, why do you sing? Do you sing just because you like to sing? Or do you sing because it helps you to express this love that you and gratitude that you have for God? If you don't sing, why don't you sing? What keeps you from that? And what, as we've talked about it this morning, what might maybe change your mind about the importance and significance of you participating in this community's song of praise? My prayer for us is that we would experience God and experience His love for us so deeply that we would be moved to come together, to sing to God, to be many voices brought into one in praise, and that we would be formed by that music and sent out to sing that song to the world around us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You that You have given us so many reasons to sing. Lord, I pray that You would continue to go deep with these songs in us. Lord, and that You would go deeper in us so that our song comes from a place of love and devotion and care and excitement for You. Help us to be a community that sings Your song out of true joy and gladness. Help us to be a community that can go deep even with the not so good emotions with You. Take away everything that hinders us from that. Take away from us everything that hinders us from a real relationship with You and from a life that truly and deeply serves You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.